You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning into this week's episode of The Ball Bags. Episode 10, Season 3, two episodes left this side of Christmas, which is a scary concept. And then we'll take a winter break, return in the new year. But it's kind of a tried and tested trio at this stage. It's myself, then it's Rocky. How are you, sir?
Doing well, pal. I know we don't put the video out with these podcasts, but if the either of you see my eyebrows going up, it's because I'm watching the Turkey Day NFL that's currently on as we record.
I think we're probably all watching it on the sly.
I'll try and not let it affect my podcasting.
But we've kind of skipped across a very important element of the show too as well.
The most important element.
Exactly. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Sasquatch. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm somehow always taken aback by the ego of Rocky to kind of make the show about him.
The show needs a diva. And I'm here to deliver.
We got it in spades. But look, I digress. So, look, I'm going to get straight into the crux of the show, the format. I think you all know at this stage what it is. So the kick is off. Diva, who is your player of the week and why?
Going for a bit of a curveball here. I've chosen Tommy DeVito. He's been the butt of everybody's jokes now for 3 or 4 weeks. You know, everybody's ripping him for living at home with his parents, you know, doing his chores, all of this business. But on Sunday, he beat the Washington Commanders. He went for a completion percentage of 69. Nice percentage. he had a 137.7 passer rating. And he just pulled out a win for a putrid Giants team that nobody really expected. Look, the Commanders aren't a powerhouse themselves, but I don't think many people had the New York Giants winning that game. And even for fans of other NFC East teams, he's hurt their draft pick. So really, it's a win-win for everybody in that division, except for maybe the Commanders.
Fair. Cool. Next up was myself. It's probably maybe something we haven't maybe given just quite enough love to this season. But my player of the week is LeBron James. It's kind of for a culmination of reasons in terms of picking from last weekend. They were victorious over the Portland Trail Blazers on Saturday. It's not a huge deal, but it's more the concept of he dropped 35 points in a victory. The man is 38 going 39 in December. He is averaging 33.8 minutes a game and 25.7 points a game. We have never seen this longevity in sports ergo Tom Brady. That's the only comparable person in this stratosphere. The debate will rage on indefinitely, LeBron versus Jordan, but I think with enough time gone by, I think we will agree that it is LeBron that is the GOAT per se. I just always think history always paints you in a positive light when you're in that stratosphere. But I just think at this age, 38 going on 39, what more needs to be said? It's exceptional. And Chief,
fair point.
Yourself.
So my player of the week was the returning Justin Fields to the Chicago Bears. Badgent had deputized quite well for them. I think he, you know, it's a terrible coaching team there, but they've actually got two pretty decent quarterbacks, and Fields came back into this one, nearly led an upset against the Lions, who are the NFC North leaders. And he ran for 104 yards, threw for 169, and but for bad coaching in the last quarter, really could have caused a big upset there on Sunday. And I think he missed four games on the bounce with a thumb injury, so it was a good return for him, and I think it probably showed enough of him for the Bears to stick with him if they can get the right coaching around him.
Yeah, I think, look, it's very easy to look at Justin Fields, the recommendation for player of the week, and go, yeah, but he lost. I think he was very good against the Lions. He probably needs to string two or three performances like that down the stretch to just give us that like level of consistency. And we're like, okay, we're comfortable with him now.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he's not coaching and he's not playing cornerback. So how much can you pump the loss on him?
Yeah, I would say as well, just to put in, I've been very critical of him as well. But if you look at his stats over the last 3 years, he has been improving incrementally. Whether you're looking at completion percentage, which has gone from 58 to 60 to 62%, his touchdown to interception ratio, or even his passer rating in general, there is remarkable improvement there. And as you say, there might be growing confidence with him at the helm going forward rather than a readiness to ditch him or move off him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's always showing glimpses, but I think Sasquatch hit the nail on the head, though. He needs to get a 3-4 game stretch, show his consistency, and maybe just use his own heads up and not listen to the coaches for some of those plays.
There's an element too, like for ownership, if he can cement that kind of few games consistency, they can actually say, look, examine this guy in a vacuum, he has it, we've just not maybe put him in a position to win, and that's more on us, with the changes that probably need to take place this summer anyway in terms of coaching, potentially GM, we'll see.
I think GM is probably safe for another year after this. I think he's safe. I think he kind of, certainly the trades between the end of the last offseason and before the trade deadline, he's made some good moves that seem to have definitely improved both the O-line and D-line.
Chase Claypool.
But Eberflus is out of his depth there and probably shouldn't coach in the NFL again.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's see. So, gents, if we had to pick one, who would we be in agreement?
Well, Tommy DeVito is a bit of a meme choice. I should have mentioned his
signature. Let me tell you, the Italian community in New Jersey is vigorously shaking that wrist at
you
right now.
My goodness. What a fantastic touchdown celebration.
I think I called it off air.
You might have.
And he's Danny DeVito's nephew, isn't he?
I think that's exactly true. So I'll let you fight between the the 2EE?
It's opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, it's the experience.
Yeah.
LeBron James just being LeBron James.
Look, I think we're going to get more opportunities to give it to LeBron James. I'm far beyond, kind of far before this podcast was even a concept, he was a player of the week. So I'm happy to give it to Justin, given it's been a tough spot, his pro football career so far.
Yeah, I'll take the win on this one.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I think if we give it to Justin, it might just give him that confidence to sort of build upon.
Yeah,
exactly. The weekends.
So when he's MVP next season,
he'll give a shout out to the Chief and the podcast.
It will 100% correlate back to this airing of this episode.
It was Thanksgiving Day 2023 when three lads on a podcast backed him for Player of the Week.
From Northeast Ireland. Who would have thunk it?
Not too north.
We digress. Huh?
Not too north.
Northeast. Like, don't get lost here.
Alright.
And look, political stance aside, Rocky, it's also you for agree to disagree, so kick us off, sir.
Right, so I'm gonna throw us in a direction again we don't speak about too much, and it's a bit MLB baseball flavored, but I'll open it up generally at the end. So last Thursday, MLB owners unanimously approved the Oakland Athletics to move the franchise to Las Vegas. Despite low attendance, Oakland is now robbed of its last pro sports team. So what do the two of you think? Are moves like this justified? It's a business, but is there some responsibility to a team has to its fans? I'll point out as well that Oakland and the Bay Area there is the 10th largest market, and Las Vegas is actually the 40th largest market. So a big reason for this move is the sports betting markets that would be obviously much larger in Las Vegas.
There's an issue with that statistic.
That's go.
Not necessarily true. So you refer to the Bay Area. The Bay Area is an area of two cities. And one of those franchises you mentioned that has moved would have been the Golden State Warriors, who moved across the Bay to San Francisco, which culminates in half of that market. It's a huge, affluent kind of city. Oakland as a city is not too affluent. They're kind of like carbon copies of each other.
Oh, they're absolutely working class, yeah.
We actually kind of maybe touched on this last week without even thinking about it. Last week you brought up the concept of an NFL Europe and what cities you pick. And we kind of touched on the fact that you probably pick Vegas where you start in the NFL in the morning. But it probably hasn't worked out too well for the Raiders from a player management perspective. And on this, I think it's probably further showing it in to try and make Vegas this entertainment capital. I don't necessarily think betting, particularly sports betting, needs to be, the sport itself doesn't need to take place close to Vegas for betting.
It's very marketable, place. Though.
Yeah. Franchise moves like this, are they justified or is it responsibility to fans? I think, unfortunately, you have to look at some recent examples and kind of say, look, it's two sides of a coin. It can work and it can blow up in your face. Let's look at, like, say, the Gronke administration. The move from St. Louis to LA has been huge.
Mm.
It was a dying franchise and they saved it. But I'll let you guys jump in. Hog on that.
Yeah, no, that's one of the positives of, like, it was a dying franchise. To me, this seems like the the Athletics is a dying franchise in Oakland, but it's also, it's reuniting the Athletics and the Raiders, who were both traditionally Oakland, in Vegas. So it's kind of tying that bit of history together and stuff like that. If you, like, from a rugby perspective, the London Wasps move to become the Coventry Wasps, or just Wasps, absolutely backfired, and now they're like bottom tier of, I actually don't even know if they're approved for the bottom tier of English rugby, but like that way backfired. And then even go back, what was it, early 2000s, Wimbledon Football Club moved to Milton Keynes, and now they're both playing against each other in League Two.
Yeah,
you know, it's with very much a lot of the original Wimbledon fans sticking with the amateur club that came up through the ranks.
AFC Wimbledon, yeah.
So it's, yeah, if there are low attendances, you're not really losing much fan base, but you have an opportunity to grow a massive fan base.
There's an element too, and this probably doesn't speak, maybe, I don't know how true it rings for the Athletics, but I know for the Raiders, Mark Davis massively wanted them out of the Coliseum, and he was trying for years to move them back to LA. There's a huge element in America of how supportive the city is behind the franchise too. So it's not always as convenient as like just going to good markets to kind of be successful. You kind of need that buy-in from government level as well as a community level.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, sorry to be harking back to LA, but your example is the Rams versus the Chargers, sorry. Like, one has been an unmitigated disaster and one's been unmitigated success. They're sharing the same stadium in the same city. It's a business move, but you can make poor business moves, a la Wasps, moving to a huge stadium you couldn't fill out in a non-rugby heartland. Or not a traditional rugby heartland. It was destined to fail.
Mm. Chicago are actually in a bit of a similar situation, though, because there's rumours that they're going to move from Soldier Field to Arlington Heights or somewhere, I think. Or Arlington. City of Arlington in Illinois. Like, it's a good distance away from Chicago, like, for the traditional fans and stuff. Now,
how far is it, like, forgive me, ignorance?
It's a couple of hours' drive anyway.
I'll get the old maps up here and we'll see. We'll get some actual real data.
But, like, I know from what I've read on it, the city of Arlington are really hoping to get behind it and support the Bears if they go ahead with that project. As it stands, I think the Bears have the smallest stadium in the NFL out of all teams. And it is
just tied, I suppose, historically more so. That's the one thing about Soldier Field, though, isn't it? That's
one of the original stadium of the NFL.
That's the thing with the Bears. Mm. Like, it's just Chicago and tied to George Halas, and it's just so storied.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like the NFL would step in.
I think they need to.
Yeah, it's one of those legacy teams, all right.
You know, but like that, there's diehard Bears fans from pretty much east to west coast. There's a guy I follow on a lot of the socials and stuff. He's a Jersey boy, but his father was a Bears fan, and he's a Bears fan. Like, he's you know, it's, and
you're even finding them in Offaly.
Yeah. That was familiar.
It's just in, gentlemen. Arlington Heights from downtown Chicago is about 36 miles. It's only about a 40-minute drive.
Okay.
So it's not a million miles away from downtown Dallas to downtown Arlington, Texas.
True. For anybody living outside of Chicago, it'll make little to no difference.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. The buzzer did go. It was an interesting concept. Thanks for bringing it to us this week, Rocky.
Well,
that's
what I do.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chief, let's hand it over.
Yep. So, massive Interpro taking place this weekend in the Aviva Stadium between Munster and Leinster. Last time they met was the URC semi-final. Do you feel Munster need to back up that last appearance with a win, or will a gutsy defeat be enough, i.e. a losing bonus point, as they're in only in year two of their rebuild with new head coach and coaching ticket?
I kind of feel it's the latter. A lot's been made of the fixture because I think Irish fans are kind of, it kind of feels like the first real opportunity to get a bit of optimism going again following, obviously, quarterfinal defeat to the All Blacks. We're probably going to have our World Cup stars back. And as you mentioned, after beating Leinster in the semi-final, if Munster can at least play it tight, well, then we kind of know maybe for the foreseeable we're going to have a decent fixture here, because for a long time it's not been a decent fixture.
Yeah, I think the record is like 17-3 in Leinster's favour over the last 7 years or something like that. Mm. We don't know the teams, obviously, as we're recording, but you would imagine a pretty stacked Leinster team, i.e. pretty much Ireland team, going out. Munster have a couple of injuries and stuff. I think last year was an absolute bonus for Munster. Like, to win in year one with the new ticket was, you know, it was huge.
It caught everyone, I think, including themselves, by surprise.
Yeah, I think so. So it's just whether or not, like, what constitutes a good contest. And that's what you kind of hit the nail on the head as well, that to renew the rivalry, that it's not just going to be a Leinster walk in the park as it has been.
Effectively, what you're facing the concept of is, and this probably might seem like I'm nailing on, is like once of an opportunity now, if they can start playing these games tight, that this fixture returns to being like currently Liverpool City, as opposed to City Man United,
or previously Liverpool United.
Yeah, like just a competitive fixture. Like, the TV stations, the Irish rugby media, are probably going to upsell this game regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a competitive fixture and you're getting bums on seats, it's kind of, And we've talked about this before. We kind of, in the wake of Sexton's departure, we kind of want to see this tete-a-tete battle for the new Irish 10. And we all assume Crowley's in the driving seat. But, and it mightn't be this year, but over the course of the next few seasons, you would ideally like to see a head-to-head between Prendergast and Crowley.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what we're hoping for. So I think it's less important to Munster and it's more important to Irish rugby.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Do you
know? I agree.
Rocky, you're very quiet there.
Would you like to expand?
Ask the question, dipped out.
No, I just, look, when I see brilliance in front of me, and that's what I see when I see the two of you dissect these issues, there's no point in sticking my finger in the middle of it. Just sit back and enjoy. I get to experience what the listeners experience.
I think some of the best things in life are core when you stick your finger into something you probably shouldn't.
Well, listen.
Come on. Have a dabble. Come on. It's a great time.
Next week, I'll tell you what, I'll wow you with a topic in territory that you won't expect. But there's no point, as you say, this is not my forte, so it's like the Northern Lights. You just sit back and you just watch the beauty. Or beauties, in this case.
Look, I suppose, Chief, I'm very much looking forward to this game. I hope you are. I think it's going to be great.
No, I am. I know there's scrum and line-out issues for Munster at the moment, but I think even that win at the weekend against it was the Sharks. That was like it was a tight battle. Like it's a scoreline you don't see often in rugby anymore. It's like a 10-3, but there was serious hits and serious carries from both sides in it. So I think if we get more of the same, I think the fans and Irish rugby are in for a treat on Saturday night.
Yeah, and the timer has literally just gone there. So, moving on, a bit of a sandwich here. So, we've a bit of domestic rugby, and now we've fallen on from Rocky. We're going to do a bit of American sports commerce for you. So, credit where it's due. This comes from an incredible source, which is Joe Pompilano. I don't know if you ever heard of him. If you're anyway interested in sports business, he's definitely worth a follow. Twitter, Instagram, the works. But for the eagle-eyed fan, they will notice there is a Black Friday game this Friday, today, 8 p.m. It's never happened before, but it very much is almost a social experiment in marketing. So Amazon is paying $100 million to broadcast the NFL's first ever Black Friday game. They've had to bypass a heap of different regulations. It's 8 p.m. Irish time, because there is a rule around broadcasting at 6 p.m. American Eastern Standard Time on Fridays to avoid competing with collegiate football. The reason they've decided to do this is 2002 average viewership, NBA on Christmas Day, which I always thought was a huge amount of viewership, 4.27 million. The NFL Thanksgiving Day games drawing an average viewership of 33.5 million. So you might think, why is the NFL agreeing to this? Why is Amazon so insistent on pushing it? But effectively, Amazon is rolling out increased advertising. So standard Thursday Night Football advertising is 440,000. It's double that. But what's interesting about this is Amazon has been able to distribute bespoke advertisements based on who is watching it. Prime customers will get certain advertisements. Standard customers will get one form of advertisement. And then people who aren't even Amazon members are going to get a different advertisement, all taking place at the exact same time. And there is an option, kind of, if you're watching it through the Amazon, I don't have it, so I'm not 100% certain, but Prime Video, whatever the version is in the States, there is the option via your TV or mobile device or tablet to buy the item that's been advertised to you without even leaving the broadcast.
This is the future.
This is the future. We, the consumer, are the product. But I just, it kind of blew my mind, just the level. I guess when Amazon started getting involved in sports kind of broadcasting, we kind of all kind of raised an eyebrow, like, what is the end game here for Senior Bezos? But I think we're definitely starting to see the fruition of it. And the money Amazon is generating, I don't think we're a million miles away from a period in time where Sky, TNT Sports, BT Sports, whatever you want to name it, just can't compete, because these companies can now afford to drop money on all the sports rights, sell it to you for a very, very convenient price as a consumer. Bear in mind, the Irish and the UK sports fan is paying a Sky monthly subscription, which is about €30. I don't fully know, for the sports package on top of your standard Sky package. Then you're adding on BT Sports, which is an extra €20. And now you're going to get an Amazon Prime account, which is €10 a month.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
€10 a month. You're going to have next day delivery, all this, and you're going to get free sports. Depending on how broadcast rights get negotiated over the next decade, and sport is going to be peanuts, but you're going to pay for products, not for TV, if that makes sense. It's a complete U-turn on sport as we know it. But I suppose my question is it dangerous or necessary?
I struggle to call it necessary. I think absolutely it sort of starts to introduce maybe the start of a monopoly, as you say, where corporations like Amazon can just buy out any rights, which I'm not surprised that they are trying to push this, considering they paid a lot for the Thursday night games, and to date they've been delivered a bit of a lackluster, weak product. It's a tough one, because like to us the consumer, there's little difference in, well, there's little difference until it is bought out and there is a monopoly. We don't notice anything apart from maybe reasonable rates until, of course, there is, you know, a sole provider, and then that's when the price gouging starts.
I don't think they'll price gouge.
Well,
I just think you'll find you have a very full Amazon basket without even thinking. I suppose maybe delving into something the podcast is not about, but kind of like strategic marketing and kind of marketing in a way that's targeting human behavior. And I think when you're switched off watching the game, you're less likely to think about the purchase.
Well, it's not much different from, you know, your phones picking up words in your conversations and delivering you those targeted ads. Or, you know, personalized ads based on your search history. It's just becoming, I guess, more invasive, because, you know, you're sitting at home on your couch and all of a sudden, you know, these targeted ads are right at you, as opposed to the blanket sort of ads that may or may not apply to you. I don't know. It's hard to say whether is that what you want? Don't you want ads that are targeted to you? But then again, that means that your info is out there and it's being used to direct.
I suppose you've heard it here first, kids. Marketers are perverts. But look, it's an interesting concept, and it's probably a philosophical one. But are they targeted ads because they're your personal preferences, or have you been biased and corrupted into thinking that it's actually what you want, and that's kind of the potentially darker question. Chief,
I think it's a good idea though to try and get like more football on the TV is always a good idea, I think, or more sports. I'd watch sports every day of the week. Like if I won the Euro Millions, I would retire and just watch sports all day, every day. Kabaddi, you name it, cricket, hacky sack, championships. I'm all for it. Like I think it's I know, like, I suppose today in America, like Thanksgiving is probably equivalent to our Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, Premier League fixtures. But I think you kind of, when you said about the NBA Christmas Day games, we're all looking for something on Christmas Day as well. And
I was shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked at how low the figures were.
Yeah, it is pretty low. I suppose people do probably actually like their families, maybe. I don't know.
It's overrated.
Yeah, what the
hell? But yeah, I think the advertising element of it, like that, it's already like every single app you go into, it's already targeted at your behavior and everything already. So it's more in your face, I suppose, because you're like, especially when it comes to NFL, it's like a 3-hour stretch of targeted ads. Attention. We know how much advertising there is in the NFL that, you know, like it definitely prolongs your viewing time and stuff like that. But I think it's quite an ingenious idea by Prime. Like we've seen them, you know, they do live tennis and stuff like that, and the Autumn Nations series in rugby and stuff. It's just whether
they just seem to be kind of building the portfolio type thing.
Yeah.
It's
just whether or not, like as Rocky touched on, the product just hasn't been delivered properly yet. If they can build on the product that they're delivering, I think it's going to be win-win for them.
I think we'll park that one there. So next up, nice little segue, get you ready for the weekend. This is what we feel is this weekend's must watch TV. Myself, selfishly as I am, going to the game, it's Leinster Munster, as discussed over the course of the show. Obviously it is on at 6:30 Irish time this Saturday. It's either on Premier Sports or Viaplay, as it's sometimes referred to, or if you want to hear it in the mother's tongue, it is also on TG Car. But yeah, can't wait for this one. Leinster Munster in the Aviva at 6:30 on Saturday. Rocky, if you almost watched TV.
I've went for the Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nice. Jacksonville Jaguars, the preordained leader or winner of the division, and then the surprise of the year, CJ Stroud making the Texans, after years of mediocrity, a pretty stout-looking team, and a challenger for the division. So that's on Sky Sports NFL. You'll get it on Sky Sports Mix as well on Red Zone. You'll see your highlights there, and then on Game Pass, if you have it. It's on it Sunday at 6:00.
Fair. And finally, Chief.
So my game of the week to watch is the Saturday kickoff, early Saturday kickoff between City and Liverpool at the Etihad Stadium, kicking off at 12:30. Two pretty much unformed teams, but City, you know, looking a bit shaky. So I think this one is looking to be, a pretty good game between the two. Hopefully they're not too disjointed after the international break, but I think this will be a good game. We'll have a lot of interest from an Irish fan perspective. And that's on Sky Sports main event.
Yeah, early kickoff, classic. Can't go wrong.
Just Sasquatch, before you say that's all from you, I think I teased last week that I was going to have a little bit of a moan. Yes. I'll keep it short and sweet, but there's been a lot of moaning online, on the online sphere, about DAZN, that the NFL sort of migrated their Game Pass over to for streaming purposes, and there's been a lot of moaning. Their cuts of the full game, the game in 40, have been really quite below par, just in terms of the editing, kind of missing plays out of sync with the sound. So anybody else who's having those issues out there, just make sure you get onto the zone and do a bit of a moan. And unfortunately, you can't actually get into contact anymore. The NFL have severed themselves from any sort of contact with the Game Pass cuts, so you have to do all your moaning directly to DAZN.
Yeah, which, look,
it's an expensive L piece of kit subscription, so you don't want to be paying. I think it's €160 to.
I think the minds of Trey Parker and Matt Stone hit the nail on the head when they told us, blame Canada.
Yeah.
Spot on.
And that is all from me.
And that's all from me.
And that's all from me.
Thank you. And good night.